Well, yeah. Hey, it's good to be back on the show. Long hiatus. We've got a lot of cool people in here tonight. Most notably, the biggest arms in municipal management. And his friends.
I'm Jay Lindley, hosting Hoja Town with Shiloh Martin, Todd McDaniel. Gentlemen, this is a big deal.
Yeah, we got a lot of people.
Wait.
Yes.
It's good to be back on the show. Fellas, let's go.
There you go.
That's my favorite part.
We got a administrator, we got a chief, and then Blue, of course. Yeah. Absolutely.
And a water board person. What do you call those?
Sure. Yeah.
Chairman? Are you chairman of the
You're
water
chairman
board?
Of the water board?
I'm secretary of the Rural Water Number 5 Water District here that serves Hochatown and a little bit of area outside. But I'm also chair of the Hochatown Planning Commission.
Put some respect on his name.
We got the chief, Cody Gilbert, as well as the city administrator, Adam Boston.
Fire chief.
Sorry. Yeah, that's right. What did I say? I just said chief. My bad. I'm looking at the fire the hat, so it was in my head.
And we've been trying to get Adam on here for some time now.
We've been talking about it.
Achieved it.
Nice. I love it.
How long have you been town administrator?
Yeah, we're coming up on 2 years now.
So we've been trying for 2 years.
Two years.
And in May, this will be the fifth anniversary of hosting Hochatown.
Oh, my gosh.
How many?
May.
Time.
Five years.
5 years?
Oh, yes. Wow.
5 years older, 20 pounds heavier.
We were in the top 5% of all podcasts.
Of all
in
podcasts
the country.
In the nation. That was at one point. Yes. Yeah. That was a downloads data.
Get on the ball.
Yeah, get back to it.
That's on
hey, we actually still have quite a few daily downloads, so it's pretty neat to see that even though we don't put them out every single week like we used to or every other week like we used to.
We were getting kind of good at it, y'all.
Yeah, we did good. Yeah.
We were doing like one every 2 weeks. We were getting
good. It's a great historical archive.
Yeah, Blue was just talking about that earlier. He said,
incorporation.
Before incorporation, and we kind of documented all of that, time-stamped it, if you will, just talking about what was going on, what the moves were making, lawsuits, this, that, everything. So
it probably is the most accurate storyline of how it all happened and went down.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Honestly, we kind of got boring after all the fun was over. Once it got incorporated, we just didn't have as much to talk about.
True. Very true.
Winners write the history, right?
There you go.
That's right.
I like to put it like that.
4-0, that's all I got to say. 4-0.
4-0 in the courtroom, baby.
Well, I'm going to knock on wood, too.
There you go.
Knock on wood.
Oh, okay. Something coming up?
You never know.
Oh, okay. I was just making sure.
So, we got a little itinerary here Jay makes because he's the professional.
First itinerary ever.
I've had a couple of things that I've done in the past, but this is the first one I've really printed out.
He's the play-by-play guy. I'm the color analyst. And then our rules expert here, Dirty Toe.
I provide the facts.
So, yeah, we're going to touch on some growth, tourism, safety, now that we've got some public safety up and running, and just some community things. So, do you want to do these? Options?
I got it. No, that's just for in case you run out of things to say. I got plenty of questions for these gentlemen.
Oh, you're locked and loaded.
I'm locked and loaded, absolutely. No, let's start, and I'll kind of throw all questions at both of y'all because both of you are kind of starting something brand new. It's the first time ever it's being done in your position. So what's the most challenging thing you've guys jumped into or found up to this point? Adam, of course, with this administrator side, and then Cody with the fire chief side, whoever wants to jump in there.
Okay. So I'll start off with my end, and I'll let our fire chief talk about the things that he deals with on a daily basis and setting up his fire department. But one of the most challenging things that I feel like in starting a new municipality is the fact that just about everything that we do from the ground up, it hasn't been done in such a long period of time. And so whenever I reach out to my mentors, which are other city managers across the state of Oklahoma, and I have a few in Texas as well, and I ask them, their opinion on a couple of things that we're working on here, and they hit me back and they say, well, that sounds like a great plan, but I don't know because I was handed the keys to a functioning city. And so, and I think that Chief Gilbert here will talk a little bit about that, about how, what it is it's about perseverance and continuing to ask questions about the things that we need to do to make the next step forward. So although someone doesn't just hand us a blueprint on how to start a police department, We had to ask a ton of questions, and it took me about 6 months straight worth of work to figure out what we needed to do and what we needed to get done, all the paperwork and all the forms, the policies, the SOPs that we needed to adopt, all the MOUs that we needed to get done in order for us to get a certified police department and then hire a police chief. That was just 6 months straight, day-to-day grinding, making phone calls, and just kind of putting breadcrumbs together or pieces of the puzzle together to make a full picture about, you know, what we need to do to get things started.
And I would say that would probably be one of the most unrealized things by the public is the fact that everything takes so much time when it comes to what you do. You're talking about 6 months later, we've been working on this. We've been attacking this.
Yeah. And really quickly, I just want to go back and I just want to mention that how much I really do appreciate the mentors that I have in my life. And these people have been essential in the development of this community and the development of my professional career as well. And so I don't think we would be as far along as we are without many of them. And so I'm extremely grateful for all of their help that they've been. Because honestly, to build Hochatown, it's taken a community and community support and people like Blue and our board of trustees and all of our business owners coming together, people like Chief Gilbert and Chief Williamson coming together, creating a wonderful team and pushing through and persevering, like I'd said, and getting the answers and starting to take action.
Chief Gilbert?
I mean, it's the same for us. Like for us, same as the town. We didn't inherit a town or a fire department. We built one. We had to start from the ground up, not knowing what we were doing. I've been a fireman for 15 years. I know how to be a fireman. I don't know how to build a fire department, but we made it. I mean, I got hired in April, and we didn't open until October, so it took that long to get everything in place. Right. The same with the police department. Like, we spent weeks and months just doing paperwork and sending emails and making phone calls, and those aren't my strong suits. Shiloh actually helped a lot with that. Adam helped a lot with making the phone calls and knowing the right people. Adam is a Rolodex of people. You say, I need to contact somebody with this, and he's like, oh, I got that guy's phone number. It's honestly really weird. But the dude knows a lot of people, but, I mean, we've pushed through. We're open. We're running calls. We're fully staffed.
Yeah, you're 24/7 coverage since October.
That's awesome.
I thought one thing that was kind of interesting that you know, we had talked about was when you went to get into the pension, they were like,
yeah,
man, we don't really know. It's been so long since we had a new fire department needing to get into the pension. And yeah, you know,
yeah, we fought that. That's probably been our biggest fight so far, man. And not necessarily a fight, but just a headache was, you know, we called and said, hey, we want the pension system. They said, we don't know how to do that.
And how long has it been? Did you find out?
He had been executive director for 8 years, was it, Chief?
Yeah. Okay.
He had been executive director for 8 years, and we had asked, you know, what are some of the things we need to do? What are the paperwork? What's the paperwork that we need to file and get back to you guys?
They didn't.
And
have
I think I remember you telling me, Chief, that he said, well, I guess I'm going to go back and read some statutes.
Yeah, they built the paperwork for
it. It had been so long since a full-time paid fire department has gone online in the state of Oklahoma.
That's crazy.
And I just want to say, we as trustees made a mistake in hiring these guys. Because apparently there's just people everywhere that know how to do this. They're on Facebook like every day. Yeah. And they just know how to build a town from scratch. And we made a mistake in hiring people that did not know this. So I just want to, as a trustee, say we apologize for that. But anyway, we're here now. Deal with it.
Is there anything in terms of the 2 years you've been administrator that you thought would be done by now that isn't quite there yet? And then what are some things that happened a lot faster that you didn't anticipate?
Some of the things that I felt would be taken care of by now. Honestly, I feel like we've made some really great progress in these last 2 years. I mean, we've had some incredible accomplishments, anywhere from roads to creation of a police department, creation of a fire department, filling out our staff. Some of the things I felt like that we could have accomplished by now, this is probably just me being critical of myself. I'd like to get more roads done.
Yeah,
I would definitely like to get that done. And here, let me kind of explain the situation with the roads, because there's some lore, some background behind this. All right. So whenever I first jumped in here at Hochatown, you know, it was just me. And whenever we had incorporated, all of the roads were pre-existing. You know, Hochatown itself, the town was not out building roads. The roads were previously existing, so they're either going to be private or they're going to be county owned. And so one of the first things I had to do, I had to get an MOU with our county commissioners, and that took a few months of work getting that done, and all of the negotiations and explaining about how we're going to come in and we're going to start maintaining these county owned roads, because it's really just a maintenance agreement. We don't actually own these county owned roads. So we just have an agreement to be able to perform these maintenance and these upgrades to these roads. What I feel like has taken an extreme amount of time has been acquiring the easements for these privately held roads. And so there's been a lot of confusion and animosity because people don't necessarily understand that their road is privately held. Because what's happened is whenever their subdivisions were being created, the county commissioners were responsible for signing off on their subdivision plat, right? And so in their subdivision plat, it states that these are going to be privately held roads because the county commissioners, you know, at that point in time did not want any additional maintenance responsibilities. So they stuck it back onto the developers or the private property owners, et cetera. And so there's a lot of confusion generated around roads because people, you know, they'll call me up and they're upset that they have potholes and everything. And I'm all for maintaining these roads. Like, get me out there. I want to get this done because I know how important this is for tourism, because we have to have drivable roads. We can't have miserable roads for people to come in and whenever they're trying to enjoy time away from the big city. Okay.
Right.
And so we've had to go through each and every single subdivision and identify if it's individual property owners. So do we have to go by cabin by cabin by cabin and get a maintenance agreement or road easement agreement with them? Or we can go back, we can visit the plat and see if the developer themselves had a dedicated easement withheld for them to do their own maintenance. And so if they do, we can go to that developer specifically and we can avoid going to cabin to cabin to cabin, and we can just go and get that easement agreement through the developer themselves. And that saves a lot of work if that happens.
Nice.
But not every single case is created that way.
Right.
And so some situations we have to go to individual property owners to get a maintenance agreement.
Because
so,
essentially their lot is part of that road.
Part of the
so
road.
I mean, every driveway that runs down to the road is
yeah.
The guy on the left side owns to the middle of the
to
road.
To the middle. Yeah, typically to the middle. Sometimes it really just depends on how the plat's drawn up and how the surveys are. But yeah, typically, like you said, Shiloh, it's just right there in the middle. And so we have to get both sides of the road. So that's been a really interesting project for me. And what's been critical about that is a lot of these roads that are privately owned are actually what we classify as major collectors, right? So major collectors are our evacuation routes, and they sustain the highest amount of traffic volumes, and they get people to and from US 259, which is basically our main street, and through all of the subdivisions throughout town, because all the little smaller subdivisions feed into the major collectors. And then you hit a major collector like Sugarberry, Luke Fada, Camp Ranch, Pine Hills, et cetera. And then that's what you take to get to 259. So, yeah, it's been really interesting. We've actually made a significant amount of progress. It's been a lot of work and a lot of organizational effort and a lot of paperwork behind it.
How much money have we spent on roads?
How much money have we spent on roads? I actually had our clerk perform our budget analysis on how much we've spent on contractors, engineering, everything like that. I didn't bring that piece of paper with me. We actually had that paper produced today. And so that'll be ready for our February report. But we do have about $5 million that's been appropriated to road maintenance. And I'd say that we've spent about $2 million of that. And so we have a little bit of around, I'd say, I haven't looked at it in a few hours, and I think it was about 3.5. I looked at it very quickly, but I think we have $3.5 million left to spend for this fiscal year. And we have four key roads that are at least on my radar right now to get done by the end of this fiscal year, which is June 30th. And those roads are Pinion. And this is not in any sort of ranked order. I'll actually restart that list and I'll give you the highest traffic volumes and I'll go down from there. So Luke Fada Trail is actually our number one highest traffic producing roadway in Hochatown.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Luke Fada Trail produces the highest traffic volume in Hochatown outside of US 259. Number two is Camp Ranch Road, and we're actually in the middle of paving the first mile of Camp Whoa. Ranch Road right now. And that project was around $1.2 million. So that'll be paved from US 259 to Pine Hills, right there where the big blue water tower is. Mm-hmm. So Camp Ranch Road, we selected a bit of 8 inches that's going to be paved with 8 inches of asphalt. And that's important because we anticipate the amount of development to increase along Camp Ranch Road after it's paved, because there's a lot of new subdivisions back there, especially like Lost Creek North area, that has begun to start to sell lots lately as the economy starts to open back up. I have four roads I have to tell you about.
Perfect.
So first one was Luke Fata Trail, and we hope to have that one done. I'm hoping before the end of Q1. I think Todd and I were on the phone call with our engineer the other day, and I think we're going to hold off on construction till after spring break, maybe. But the task order for the design work and then the bid is going to be processed in February. So Luke Fata Trail is anticipated to be completed by Q2 of this year. Awesome.
I want to hold that up for all you people with cabins on Luke Fata, though. We are going to do some basic maintenance to the road before spring break.
That's a great point that, like that I've overlooked, because I'm talking about our gigantic asphalt projects not just our standardized road maintenance operations. But yes, we're going to make sure that these roads are drivable and in decent condition as best as possible, and address a lot of the drainage situations as well before the spring break. Awesome. I'm hoping to have this done. I've told our contractor it needs to be done by mid-February, so that way we can take a look at it before spring break and then make any additional modifications before we get that big traffic influx, because we want to make sure everything's good and we don't want to have to come back and work on things while people are here.
Right.
So we got Luke Fata, Camp Ranch. What were the other roads?
Okay, yeah. So number three on traffic volumes is Sugarberry.
Yeah.
Yep. So
y'all talk about that one a lot.
Yeah, and it's a tough one.
I get a lot of complaints on that one too. Gotcha. I've gotten complaints on Sugarberry and Luke Fata only so far in our emails. But again, if you do have any complaints out there about our roads, please shoot me an email, info@hochtown.gov, and I'd love to hear about it, because I want to get out there and I want to fix your road.
Now, do you answer all the emails personally, or does somebody say, hey, Adam, you got one, and then you answer it?
I'll typically answer about 90% unless it's something super simple that staff can respond to, because I handle all the road maintenance scheduling.
Okay.
Yeah. And so
you're actually talking to Adam is what I was doing.
Yeah, you're talking directly to me. I'll take that email and you'll see a response directly from my email address. So that's number three, Sugarberry. And Sugarberry is going to be the first mile. Let's talk distances real quick, because we've talked about Luke Fata. That's going to be 1.5 miles. So once you take Luke Fata down to the first mile, that's right there at the Bear Claw intersection, all those stop signs right there.
Right.
And then you keep going an additional half mile, and then you'll come up a hill and you'll see that fresh cut pavement. We're going down an additional half mile past the Bear Claw intersection at Luke Fata. And then as for Sugarberry goes, that'll be the first mile. And so that'll be right there at that four-way intersection. Our third road project will be Old Hochtown Road.
Okay.
And this will go all the way down to the intersection of Old Hochtown Road and John Boat Lane. And so we'll just kind of cap it off right there where it turns off into John Boat. And so that road will actually be widened as well, just like all of our other projects. It'll have a minimum drivable surface of at least 20 feet. And we're going to try to maximize it where we can, where the easement's appropriate and where we have the land space available, to try and cap it out to like 24 feet drivable surface. Okay. Because that way it'll give you enough room to get all of our vehicles and for Chief Gilbert over here to get his emergency response vehicles out in and out of the area safely.
And we got a fat grant for Old Hochtown.
We do have a grant for Old Hochtown. And I'd like to thank KEDO, which is our local COG, Coalition of Governments, for the $150,000 grant that we have for Old Hochtown Road. And I have to have that 100% completed and closed out by May of this year, 2026.
What do you mean by completed and closed out? Like the job done?
Yeah, the job has to be 100% done by May of this year. And so I'm shooting to have that job done by April of this year. Okay. And so to like kind of expedite some of the road maintenance and road paving operations, we're actually going to try and bid out Luke Fata and Old Hochtown Road and another road, which is our fourth highest traffic grossing road in Hochtown, which is Pinion. And so Pinion's back there behind the shopping center over there by Scotty Dogs, Scotty Dogs Bar.
Scotty Dogs.
Shout out. Scotty Dogs.
Yep. And the thing is with Pinion is we've had our engineers come out and take a look at it multiple times. And one of the issues that we keep seeing with Pinion is that concrete box bridge that's there. It's super narrow, so narrow. And there's no guardrails. The structure has been in it's compromised. It's fallen apart. And so we have got to extract that concrete box bridge that's in there and replace that with something that's going to be a little bit wider. So that way we can get two vehicles across at the same time. Then we'll throw down some guardrails and we'll get that whole section paved. So it'll go from 259 to US 259.
Heck yeah.
Chief Gilbert, what are some things that have come, you know, a bit slower that you thought would be up and running in terms of fire protection, and what are some things that you were able to do quicker than you thought?
Honestly, like, our biggest holdup was just getting stuff here. You know, we ordered, like, our trucks were fairly quick. You know, we bought a brush truck from Utah, a brand new nice brush truck. I mean, it's the nicest one anywhere close to us.
It's beautiful.
Funny to say about a Utah fire truck, but I'll quit.
It's not Mormon.
It's really it's a cool truck. It really is. Yeah. I'm a fan.
It's really nice. So cool. Our engine came from just a broker. We don't really know where it came from. It was here pretty quick, but like hoses, we ordered hoses and it took us 26 weeks to get hoses here.
Wow.
You would think that these vendors would have this stuff sitting on the shelf.
Yeah, that is this huge struggle that I don't understand in the fire service. Like, you can get nothing. No. No one houses it. There's 1,000 people you can order it from, but they're all drop shipping from a manufacturer. Yeah.
We ordered a fan. Took us 12 weeks. Just a vent fan, you would think that they would be sitting on a shelf ready to go.
Yeah.
They had to make it for us.
That's amazing.
And it wasn't anything special. Like, it was just out of a book. Hey, we want this one. And it took us that long. Bunker gears took us 14 weeks for each set. And they don't.
If you were to order a new engine, it'd be, what, 2 years right now?
2 years, yeah. If we ordered a brand new custom cab truck, we're looking at 2 years plus.
That's insane. For a service that saves lives, like,
exactly,
to me that blows my mind.
You can thank the Rev Group.
Yeah,
look it up. It's a conspiracy. I'll look Google it up. I will say, I feel like you got staffed faster than you probably thought that you would.
Yeah, we did. And our staff, like, everybody that we hired is fully certified, and they were ready to go to work. We didn't have to send anybody to school. We didn't have to do anything crazy. Like, we put out applications, and everybody that applied, everybody that we interviewed was fully certified and ready to go. We hired great guys. We had some that come from big cities. We had one guy come from Beaumont and Kema. He was driving from Hugo to Kema and Baytown. I'm sorry, Baytown and Kema.
Dang.
He's great.
It's down by Houston.
Yeah.
Wow.
Phenomenal guy. We had a guy come from the Edmond area. Mm-hmm. Two guys come from Poto, one from Tuttle.
So did they have like, have they visited here? They have family in the area. Why did they just decide to relocate?
Yeah, I mean, cool. The guy from...
To be part of something brand new?
Yeah, the guy from Kema, he lives in Hugo, and he's been driving that, and he saw it, and he was like, hey, it brings me home. I don't have to drive 6 hours anymore. Because he was rotating shifts where he would work 4 days straight and then come home.
Well, and I think, you know, to the credit of Hochatown and really the greater McCurtain County area, you know, in terms of fire service, like, Oklahoma fire service is critically underpaid compared to other states. Like, you are a fireman in North Texas, and you're knocking on $80,000-$90,000 as a firefighter, not as a captain or a chief, as a firefighter. And, you know, Oklahoma, you know, to compare that to Oklahoma City and Tulsa, you know, they're higher paid than we are, but not a crazy amount. And so I think that one thing that probably incentivized a lot of those guys was pay. You guys come out of the door, you know, with a well-paying job in a critically underfunded service. And, you know, I think that's a big attraction for people.
I would like to add, I agree, firemen do not get paid enough money.
No.
Yeah, I thought when we offered them what we offered them, like, it was pretty high because, you know, I worked at Broken Bowl for 15 years and I wasn't making what we're paying these guys.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, we try to hire some folks and then Broken Bowl pays their guys more money to stay.
Thank you, guys.
So you're welcome, John.
You're welcome.
We'll take it.
We're trying to elevate the area.
The whole area.
And Idabel paid their guys a pretty hefty incentive pay to stay. Because we did interview two of their guys, and we didn't go poaching them. We didn't go looking. They applied.
Right.
But everybody that we did hire, again, is fully certified. We've got 3 EMTs. They're all Fire 1, Fire 2.
And that goes to show that, yes, this ripple effect we've been talking about for years now is true, even in careers.
I mean, I've brought this up, you know, on the podcast from the jump. You know, when I was in high school, like, you either went and worked on the road or you went to college and didn't come back here. You know, there wasn't any, right. unless you were second, third generation logger or something, you didn't come back. And, you know, I think I graduated college at the right time. I come straight back to the county with a job in my field and, you know, went on to have, you know, other jobs in my field before, you know, departing and going to the greatest job ever, the fire service. But, you know, they're just, that opportunity wasn't there for Todd's generation. And I mean, Blue's from Baptiste and you know, made a career in Arkansas because there just weren't those jobs here. I would think that you guys would agree. And now you got a good chance of coming back and working in your field, yeah. you know, due to this growth. So I've never understood, not that I'm going to get on Todd's level and call everyone out, I've never understood the hate because, man, don't we want our kids to come back here and
you know, and be able to make a great living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. It's created an industry to where you can stay home and make it, you know, and we've talked about this on the podcast. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but
I agree.
It you know, we were poor for so long, and now that we're here, and then I really believe that the animosity is from a very few.
Yeah,
I think
yeah. most allowed. Yeah, yeah.
Allowed a very squeaky wheel few. Yeah, 100%.
And you know, I look forward to as our service industry grows and tourism props the service industry up, and they grow together. That we'll start seeing more industry come in.
Yeah,
you know, we're already seeing. You know, developments around Broken Bow in terms of actual residential housing. We're seeing a little bit of that growth. I mean, we look back in 15 years and you know, we'll, all those things that we have been, you know, just desolate in, we're going to see all of that propped up. And then you'll start to see new industry come in, you know, that may still be centered around wood products or our, you know, our main industry, if it's still our main industry in terms of volume, I don't know.
But, I really believe that tourism will soon become the county's number one industry. I mean, it just, the writing's on the wall.
The numbers are there.
Yeah, gotcha. It's happening.
Hey, can I share some numbers with you?
Of course.
Let's go.
All right, and these are cocktail napkin numbers, but, you know, I look at the sales tax reports when the paper publishes them every month.
And by the way, this is Blue McDaniel.
Oh, yes. Blue McDaniel.
Yeah. He's a recognizable voice.
And I pore over those and look at them. And I'm got an engineer mind, so I start digging in and looking at it. And, you know, the sales tax sales base in McCurtain County is $1 billion a year.
A billion.
With a B.
B.
With a B.
Big boys.
Bravo.
The and it may be off 100 million or two or whatever, but, you know,
it's a lot.
The tourism component of that's 300 million a year. You can figure that out by looking at the county lodging tax and then Hochatown and combining them. So you get kind of what the tourism component, what we guesstimate, is about $300 million a year.
It's about 30%.
Yeah.
30%.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you look at historical numbers of year-over-year growth of our county budgets that are dependent on sales tax, you take solid waste, jail, the hospital authority, you know, all those are static tax. They're the same rate, so you can kind of judge, and they're county taxes, so you can kind of judge from those what the totality is and then what the components are. And we've been around a 6% growth in the county. And you look over at Push County and Choctaw County and some of them, they're flat.
Yeah.
And when you're flat, you're not, people aren't getting raises, you ain't buying equipment, you ain't got materials to work with. You know, it's just, we've enjoyed those things in McCurtain County, okay? Because we've had an economy that's been growing, you know, kind of COVID was an outlier, but 6% or so a year. So if you kind of back into the numbers there and you start looking, if 30% of your economy is growing at our historical rates that we've had of 18 to 20% a year, and it's 30% of it, your economy, well, that's contributing six points to your total growth, and that's where we're at. So the growth that we've enjoyed in this county, and look at all the trust and everything, they've got fat coffers, all right? And I remember when they were poor, they've got fat coffers, good. You can thank tourism for that.
Absolutely.
100%.
And tourism isn't going anywhere. It's happening. Sorry, Chief.
For tourism, for the fire service in McCurtain County, so we get a 0.25-cent sales tax. And Shiloh probably knows a little bit more about it than I, but these guys were making, were doing, you know, fish fries and cake walks to make money, pancake, keep their lights
breakfast
on. And right. You know, in 07, we passed that quarter cent sales tax. Now, these departments that were getting $1,000 or $1,200 a month are now getting $7,000 to $8,000 a month in their own accounts because of, I mean, it's all because of tourism.
Now, these absolutely. People who are, you know, doing this service for free aren't having to do the service for free and also, you know, do six fundraisers a year to keep yeah. the lights on, keep fuel in the trucks. Yeah. You know, the economy is allowing them to, you know, build a good right. fire department and serve those communities. And, you know, we talk a lot about Idabel, Broken Bow, and Hochtown, but, you know, we've got some
other departments.
Yeah, we've got mm-hmm. some very small, you know, Bethel, Pickens, Baptiste, Shinewell down there in the corner.
Sherwood.
Sherwood's got a
Big Marty.
I mean, we've got some, you know, because you got to think, Broken Bow is you know, kind of centrally located in the county. You know, we used to have to run, I mean, we spec'd out a rescue truck just to be able to drive to Smithville as fast as we could, you know.
I've been there a few times.
And now we're, you know, those departments in those areas are funded and able to provide that. And tourism is, you know, much larger than just Hochatown. It expands to every direction.
It's pretty much half and half. Like, if you take Hochatown, well, if you take the total county tourism economy, it's pretty much half in Hochatown and then half in the rest of the county.
Yeah.
And that's huge, man. All the state agencies are full. Their coffers are full. Everybody's got money. If you look at the schools, everybody's building new buildings, building new gyms. That's all done yeah. by the tourism.
Well, think of fire safety. What makes Hochatown a little bit different than your average city when it comes to fire rescue,
great,
for example?
Great question.
And so for us, you know, like, where Broken Bow's population is X amount, what, 4,500 to 5,000?
Mm-hmm.
Ours is
246.
And it can be upwards of, what, 20 to 30,000 on a weekend?
That's right.
So for us, it's not a consistent population that we tend to, right? It's, and these people that do come up here expect the same service they're going to get in Oklahoma City or Tulsa or Dallas or mm-hmm. you know, somewhere in Louisiana, and
right,
we have to step our game up and provide that service.
Well, and then the traffic that you'll deal with,
yeah,
to get to these calls,
and with the road construction, it's tough, you know, with the main, with 259 being like it is, trying to get out and get places, and then these small roads getting around. I mean, most deals. Of our calls here are, I mean, any fire department, Shiloh, again, can attest yeah. to it. Like, they're all, mostly all medicals. You know what I mean? Like, any fire department in the country, they're going to run gotcha. Mostly medical calls.
Makes sense.
I think we've ran 50-plus calls every month since we started in October, running full-time. And
wait a 95% second.
Of those are medicals.
50 calls
a month.
Our other department was running 600 calls a month.
Get a load of this, guy. Wait.
We'll get there. I'm ready. I'm loaded.
Cut that. Cut
you're
that.
You're doing ringing right. We'll get there.
I don't know if you should cut that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't speak on that. All we can speak to is us. And truth be told, man, like, honestly, we've worked really great with them.
Yeah.
I understand that there's headbutts and there's disagreements and, you know, this and that. But at the end of the day, like, we work good with them. I can't say anything bad.
One common
them.
Goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
If
save
we,
lives.
We they've actually been gracious enough to let us use their radio channel. I mean, because right now we're waiting, you know, to put our repeater
talking
up.
About
right.
growing pains, yeah. things that don't happen overnight.
Yeah. We've waited, what, Adam, 3 months on our FCC license.
Absolutely.
Just for our repeater.
And to wow, those yeah, who tell me that so this is we're doing things backwards, call them and get them their frequency,
yeah.
please.
I've got a representative for the OAB that I may be able to get you in touch
we
with.
Got it.
Oh, we've got it.
It.
Okay, yeah, okay, it's cool, been secured.
Yeah.
Okay.
We absolutely. Got it Friday last week.
Yeah, we're on our way.
So,
awesome.
Hopefully
thank
the next
you to
week
Chief Torbert and Chief Williamson for the work
yeah.
on that.
We're
it's
trying.
Amazing how much
our radio guy said it was going to be here. He said he had it sitting there. No, nothing to him. Like, it was $15,000 worth of equipment.
Yeah,
a lot of people just can't afford to sit on that. So.
True.
As soon as that gets here, we'll have our own radio frequency. But again, they've been gracious enough to let us use yeah, theirs.
That's awesome.
That's how we're running calls.
That's awesome.
And if we show up, they bring us whatever we need, and we bring them whatever they
essentially
need.
Essentially running so, as one agency.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, that's what we've been doing for the last 3 months.
So I think, you know, you touched on the roads and construction on 259. I think that's a great segue to talk about one of the largest elephants in the room in terms of Hochtown. How is the 259 road construction? What are we looking at on timelines? And what is the overall goal? Because I'm having a hard time seeing it.
All right. So 259 phase two is going to be from 259A. And all the way north to Golf Course Road. And that's going to consist of a center median with potentially five lanes in some areas, but for the most part, it'll be four lanes, and it'll be curb and gutter with sidewalks, as we did receive that grant from ODOT to help pay for that infrastructure.
That sounds like a win in my book, though.
It's not a bad thing.
Okay.
How many phases are there?
There should be three phases.
What's the third phase?
The third phase will be through Broken Bow.
Okay.
Yeah, they've got to improve that intersection over there.
So
that's going to be a bottleneck at the end of the day.
That'll be a roundabout.
Going to be my next.
I'm not committing to any of that.
That was going to be my next question, is how do you fix the bottleneck at Broken Bow?
So let's go back to 259, and let's talk about phase two through the corridor of Hochtown. So like I said, it's going to be a four lane with some mixed, you know, fifth lane elements to it, where they'll give you some turn lanes every now and again through the center median. Along the way, there's going to be some sidewalks. And then through that, we are going to be laying our wastewater infrastructure project while that's been torn back. So while that road maintenance operation is happening, we're hopeful to lay our wastewater lines and begin our first ever series of wastewater collection and treatment facility.
I'm glad it worked out that way.
Yeah. It's working so far. And so kind of here's the dilemma, is that December, ODOT was supposed to have their 60% plans provided. And
right.
So basically what's happening is our engineers work at the speed of light. And so they'll get their projects done. They'll get all their reports done, all the studies necessary, all the paperwork, everything behind the wastewater project completed. And then we're kind of at the mercy of ODOT to get their design plans done. I don't know when the 60% plans are going to be submitted. Todd, have you done any research on when we might be able to see those back from ODOT? I know you've been having some conversations.
When we went to the Capitol and did the interim study, you know, and it seemed like we were all conflicting with each other. We had opposite views. At the end of the day, I was just really proud of the town, because we had the city at the time, the city mayor get up there, another trustee, and myself, and we voiced different points of view on what should maybe happen for the, you know, for the future of transit through this town, what should happen here and there. We all made good points. We all made good arguments. And at the end of the day, the state basically decided that we would move forward with this five lane. And that's okay. That's where we're at now. We're moving forward with the five lane through the middle of town, which I think is a good thing. It's not going to solve our problem until Broken Bow is fixed. The five lane is a good thing. And the one thing that come out of that I think may not have happened if we hadn't have went down there and put up a little bit of obstacle, a little bit of pushback, is the fact that we get our city sewer in with this construction.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That was
the fact
glad that,
that
hey, timed out.
The fact that ODOT has agreed to allow us to incorporate our infrastructure for city sewer into that project, I think is a direct result of us going down there. And I know that there were certain individual businesses that had, you know, it affected them differently, but at the end of the day, that was our goal, is to get ODOT to commit to allowing us to put in our infrastructure for city sewer
with the timelines we were on, you know.
And I believe they've accommodated us. I will give ODOT credit. They have accommodated us. They've moved their timelines back. They've set certain dates back. So I just want to say that we accomplished a good thing by doing what we did.
The one thing that I'll keep consistent is that if there are any businesses out there in Hochtown that need help with dealing with this phase of the lane expansion project that's
right.
coming through Hochtown phase two, to please reach out to me. It's adam@hochtown.gov. Please give me an email. Shoot me an email with your concerns. I would love to address them. And if you feel like you're not getting anywhere at all with ODOT, please shoot me an email. Come by town hall. Give me a call. Whatever you got to do, reach out to me. I will gladly work with you, and we will make sure that your concerns are addressed one way or another. I can't guarantee an outcome, but I will definitely go to bat for you.
Yeah. And that's what I want my city administrator to say.
Exactly. Hey, and at the end of the day, ODOT is even a government entity that has to follow rules, and they are filled with people that have to do what they've been told to do.
But we can also, we should also be bending those rules to make sure that our communities are sustainable at the same time. Yeah.
And I will give credit, Trey Caldwell, our chair of appropriations for the state, after the meeting, he said, we need to all go get in the same room together.
I love that.
The situation room.
All right.
There you go.
And we all went in that room together, and we hashed out, you know, what we could get done and what we wanted. And that's that. I think that's the way good government works, you know, yeah. Because we had opposing views. But when we got down in the leadership that was shown there by Representative Caldwell, brought us all together at a point and we all got behind the same.
Yeah.
Once we're on the same team together, riding for the same goal, and we've all come to an agreement, then that's what it is.
Right.
So there's just some historical context to that. It was very interesting from that point of view.
At the end of the day, I feel like everybody that was in these meetings wanted what's best for Hochtown. They wanted what's best for Hochtown for the sake of the success of their business, and also for the success of this community and the continuation of what we have going on here. And so it's just a kind of different views of how we achieve that. Right. And I think that whenever we went into this little mediation session here, I feel like everybody got to voice their opinions and how they felt about the situation, and we came to a decent conclusion.
I don't know if you knew what you were getting into taking this job, do you?
Right.
Hey, I'm glad he's here, though, all right?
Me too.
I mean,
me too.
I'm sure telling you. I go back to the days when it was, hey, man, we were in the mix, you know?
Exactly.
And to sit here right now with a town administrator, exactly, and a fire chief, exactly, and functioning departments, I dreamed about these days, okay? So believe me, I am very much enjoying the moment and the time, and it really feels like a sense of accomplishment. You know, we got a lot of work to do, but it's a milestone.
Yeah.
You know, and this is it's a milestone.
Our police chief was our first chief hire. That was the first certified department that we got online. And whenever he showed up to work that first day, full drab, it felt surreal. Like, that was a moment that almost changed everything. And I was like, are you even real? Like, this doesn't feel real. You being here right now does not feel real. Like, can I pinch your cheeks? Like, and then after that, we hired Cody as our fire chief. I'm sorry, Chief Gilbert as our fire chief. To see those two guys in a room together is just awesome. Like, it puts a smile on my face, and I just know we have an incredible team at the end of the day, and we're out there getting the job done. And I just know great things are bound to happen here.
Absolutely.
I mean, we've developed really like a family dynamic in our work environment.
So let me ask you this. I think Blue and Todd, you know, they have the, and Cody being local, have the ability to look back on the last 20 years and see the growth that's happened in Hochtown. What do you look forward to in the next 20 years? And what like, if you could fast forward to that 20-year mark and you're, you know,
Looking back on your 20
years. 20 years. 22 years. Shallow.
I'm glad you didn't phone it in. That, man. Baby, I love it.
I think in March he won't be here anymore.
Yeah.
So
my contract is up for review in March.
What is
you've been consulting Oprah on those questions.
No. So what does 22-year town administrator Adam see?
Okay. So 20 years out in the future of Hochtown?
Yeah.
Man, I hope that we have a wide and diversified portfolio of recreational opportunities for people to come out and enjoy this community. I hope that we've protected our mom and pop shops. I hope that we've created an environment for locals and people that just want to come here and start their own business to succeed and thrive. I hope that we have the accommodations available for all of the new family and friends that we've developed that want to come out and enjoy a piece of Hochtown while still appreciating the kind of ecotourism that we have here. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, and we need to make sure that we protect what we have. And on top of that, I'll talk on the police and fire. I hope that we see the continued growth of our fire department and the continued growth of our police department, and making this a safe community to come out and visit.
Sweet.
That's what I'm talking about.
That was a great answer. Adam, are there any towns that you look to to kind of not necessarily model Hochtown after, because I understand the originality of what you guys are creating and don't want to diminish that. But are there any towns or areas that you look to in terms of tourism and infrastructure that you're taking ideas from?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's two different categories of towns that I take a look at. Number one is it a new township? Is it newly incorporated? So, for example, in Oklahoma, it would be Carlton Landing. Mm-hmm. So we can take a look at what they're doing over there. But if it's nationwide and it's a new town and it's tourism, actually, a lot of people don't know this, but the town of Keystone, Colorado, actually just incorporated in 2024.
Oh, wow, they have a great music festival, don't they?
Yeah, they're super newly incorporated, and our friends over at the town of Breckenridge are connecting us to Keystone, Colorado. And that kind of leeways me into towns that are, or communities, municipalities that are very successful in tourism in general. And we have a great relationship that's building with Breckenridge, Colorado. And so we'll model ourselves off of other tourism-based industries.
I actually think that's awesome, cool, because yeah. Breckenridge is one of my favorite places.
It.
And you know when I love it?
In the summertime.
Absolutely. Love it in the summer.
I've wanted to go in summer. I have never been in summer. It's always been during ski season.
So they've got a 14-mile downhill bike ride.
Okay.
You book it in Breckenridge. They put you in a van and take you up to Frisco Pass, Vail Pass, and you ride back down into Frisco. It's awesome.
Beautiful. Cool. The views.
Yeah, if you go,
yeah,
do the 14-mile bike ride from Vail Pass to Frisco, and it's so cool. Like, you go through the little copper ski resort town.
Yeah.
And it's, they're so, I don't know, like advanced, I guess, like modern, which is cool, but also, you know, primitive a little. You know, it's okay. Like you're going down this trail and then you come up on a nice ski resort town, and then you get into Frisco and it's a little older and it's got some history, and there's a nice little German pub that I like to end the bike
really
at. Yeah, so okay. You have to try it out. But I love Breckenridge, and I love to hear that is, you know, one of the towns on the list of things that you guys are looking at. And you know, one thing that I love about Breckenridge, successful roundabout placement.
100%. Oh, yeah, 100%. That's right.
About the log trucks?
Yeah.
Trust me, I've seen Swift trucks
going
through.
Yeah, they do have roundabouts through Breck. That's right, along the highway even, yes, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, as you're coming into town.
Yeah.
I've completely forgotten about that. So what's interesting is kind of, you know, where we began our relationship is I gave them a call because I want to learn what they do with their cabins, with their short-term rentals. They have 4,000 short-term rental cabins in Breckenridge, and they license every single one of them. They even license their property management firms, so firms that represent a number of cabins.
Wow.
and handle all the paperwork and the maintenance behind them. But that's besides the point. And so I reached out to the town of Breckenridge. I got a hold of their accommodations compliance manager. She's an incredibly sweet lady, incredibly informative. And I mean, they're kind of like the baseline whenever it comes to managing STRs and municipalities and handling taxing. And so we had several, you know, hour long conversations together, emails back and forth. She's introducing me to people. They really want us to come out and do a visit. And so basically that would be an opportunity where they've done this before in the past, where they host municipalities, they host cities and towns to come out, visit, stay with them for a week, and just learn from top to bottom the processes and procedures that are associated with the short-term rentals for all the cabins and stuff that are inside of that community. And so we can come back, borrow from them, learn all of their ideas and how we can improve things here. Because number one, you know, we want it to be not such a pain to pay your taxes. Like, I get it. We're all objective to taxes, and we understand the benefits that come from them.
We all got our opinions about them.
Yeah, we all have our opinions to taxes.
Some of us are 3 years behind.
Right. And sometimes, you know what? Regardless, you know, whether you like it or you don't, we want to make it as easy as possible to pay your taxes to the community, because that's what keeps us going. That's what keeps Chief Gilbert's fire department going. That's what keeps our police department expanding and growing and be able to create a safe community here for Hochtown. And then also, that's what gives money into our coffers for road maintenance operations. So if you want people to come back to your cabin, you want that road to be nice in front of your place. And so that's what we're trying to do. And we're trying to get out there and be aggressive with our road maintenance operations and take care of those things.
I like how it tied all back to roads there.
Yeah. I mean, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about.
You'd
I mean,
be a great
roads and public safety.
That would be a cut. That's got to be a cut in salary, at least.
That's not what I want to do. I mean, they put up with a lot, and I respect and I really appreciate the relationship that we've built with our county commissioners here. They've done a wonderful job for Hochatown, and we sincerely appreciate everything that they've done, not just in Hochatown, but also in Brokenbow and Idabel and their unincorporated areas as well. I mean, they've been really great these last couple of years to work with. So I sincerely appreciate them, and that's on behalf of just everybody in McCurtain County, not just myself and Hochatown specifically. But anyways, talking about sister cities and cities that are going through some similar things, I like to just kind of borrow from those successful examples that are out there, reach out, communicate, learn from their best practices, and see if we can incorporate that back into Hochatown because we're still building.
That's really insightful, and it's good. I mean, you see everyone, you know, whether they live in Brokenbow or they're listening to this outside, you know, they always have pains and aches with their towns, and hindsight's always 2020, of course, but you know, I find myself critical of you know, my own town and some of the things that we've done that I'm like, man, why don't we reach out to these other cities and model some things after them? So for you guys to have the foresight to be on top of that from the very beginning, you know, that's going to pay dividends down the road in terms of your success.
Well, there's no sense in reinventing the wheel, right?
Absolutely.
And again, if there's anybody that has any issues with Hochatown or have questions about what's going on or what's planned, please stop by Town Hall or shoot me an email or give us a phone call at Town Hall. I love having those conversations because I love what we're doing here in Hochatown. But to circle back on our relationship with Breckenridge, Colorado, because I just find that so – it's such a small world. So my cousin, he actually owns Breckenridge Outfitters just right down there in the Main Street district of Breckenridge. And it turns out that he had given he has a college scholarship grant through his Breckenridge Outfitters store. And he had actually given a college scholarship to the accommodations manager's son. And that's how we connected immediately. Is I was like, hey, do you by chance just know, you know, my cousin? And I produced his name and I said the business that he had owned. And she's like, oh, my God. Yeah. He a few years back, like he gave my son a scholarship to go to college and in engineering. And so that's how we hit it off immediately. And then the relationship just built from there. And so now we're kind of in discussions about paying a visit to Breckenridge and seeing what we can learn from them. I mean, obviously it's a beautiful place and I'd like some time away. I haven't taken a single vacation yet.
In 2 years.
I have not. No, I haven't taken a vacation. Obviously I've taken sick leave. I just had surgery on my wrist, but,
I mean, when you live in a tourist destination, the hottest tourist destination in Oklahoma, there's almost no need for
that's
a vacation.
Exactly it. Well, yeah.
Like permanent vacation.
Yeah, right? That's it. And you know, a lot of city managers, they just get in their heads. Myself, I'm guilty of this. I'm going to run this diagnostic anyways, but we never believe that it's a good time to step away from our communities.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think that it's a good time to take that step away and let things sit. At the end of the day, I think that we have great staff. We have a great family dynamic, and I think we all kind of cover each other's departments whenever we're out. And so I feel comfortable now more than ever to be able to take that step away and to maybe take my own vacation. But ultimately, anyways, we're going to go to Breck and we're going to go do some work and we're going to study and we're going to look at their recreation opportunities as well and see what we can bring back to Hochatown. Specifically, you know, one of my main objectives here in Hochatown is to improve the SDR accommodations and compliance issues that we have here and see what we can do to kind of speedline a lot of the paperwork that's behind it and the payments and the filings and just make life easier for everybody overall.
I would dare to say, out of all the city councils in the country,
dare to say it.
Before we do anything, we ask our attorneys, can we do this?
Yeah.
I mean, we know that people want us to fail. We know that. We know that people want us to fail. And so we are the most vigilant group of trustees you have ever seen as far as doing anything wrong.
Transparency.
Transparency.
Nice.
We do nothing without going to our attorneys first and asking them, is this something we could do? And everything we do as trustees is what we feel is the best interest for Hochtown now and in the future.
I think the majority understands that and believes that even. I think the large majority does. I mean, obviously, there's going to be outliers and everything, but I think the people that are making what's happening here happen, or at least helping it happen with the surge that may not have been made by anyone, technically.
Yeah.
You know, I think the majority of the folks understand that the people in place right now and those that are thriving in many cases have been working hard for maybe many years, if not have just care about Hochtown.
And now that you say that out loud, I agree with you. It's a very few people that are voicing
this. It's a vocal few, yeah.
Yeah, and they're very vocal, but... And I shouldn't let it bug me so much, you know. But
you do. We can tell. But hey, sometimes if people don't know you and they judge you, you know, or they act like they know what's going on and they really don't. You can tell by the way they, you know, talk about it. Then you just got to let that roll off the back.
I mean, I can see there's some merit in that because you go above and beyond. You put so much energy and effort and your mindset into that transparency element and making sure that everything's okay before we take that next step forward. And so I can see why it's taken so personal, you know, whenever people try to poke holes and whatever is happening, you know, whatever decisions are being made.
And I should practice what I preach. I mean, I tell my kids, those that matter don't mind, those that mind don't matter. Yeah. You know, and that's true, you know, any aspect of life. And I should listen to that more. If you just really look at the scope of things, like say you take this podcast, I'm not saying anybody do this, but go back and listen to all the podcasts.
Oh,
from way back in the day and come
through.
How much
time you got?
Yeah.
And you would see how this whole thing's played out.
Yeah.
And you would see that, you know, the people that are in the position to make the decisions for the town were there from day one.
So what is your overall, I guess, outcome for potential visitors? Like, what do you hope that their trip is like to Hochtown?
Man, I hope that the families are excited. I hope that families are excited through their entire trip. Whenever they get here, obviously we're doing some things about the traffic congestion. We're doing things about roads. We're doing things about public safety, fire realm, and police realm. We want families to be able to get here, take a break, and just pause for a moment and enjoy nature together, get that family time in. And we hope that we give them so many different opportunities and different ways that they can build memories that will last a lifetime together.
Man, that's good.
The town of Hochtown is getting it done. We got a city manager. We got a fire chief. We got a police chief. We got roads getting fixed. We are doing the things that we said we were going to do. We're working on a city sewer.
Absolutely.
We're moving forward. And we've got the numbers, the traffic numbers, and we've got the water usage numbers that are showing us that we are growing. The number of people coming are growing. This place is still everything we said it was 5 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, COVID kind of screwed things up and made things askew, and it gave people some ammo to hit back at us with. But
and the Fed screwed things up for a little while too, but things are rebounding there as well.
Yes. Hochtown is still Hochtown. We're still getting that annual growth, that, you know, that steady growth. We're 3 hours from everywhere. We're 3 hours from Dallas. We're 3 hours from Tulsa. We're 3 hours from Oklahoma City, Little Rock, Shreveport. That's 15 million people.
Hochtown, the geographical oddity.
I see the numbers. I know what's happening. And so we just got to ride out this adjustment to the market. COVID threw everything askew, jacked everything up. We're adjusting to it now. I think we've probably got some more time before we get through the actual supply versus demand as far as cabins, nightly rates, getting settled in. If I could say anything about how you book your cabin, book direct.
Yeah.
If you hear makes me sense. Out there in this world, book direct. You'll save at least 20% on your cabin, and it benefits your owner. It benefits your cabin management company. It benefits the town. All you're doing is paying Airbnb and VRBO a third-party sum, and they do absolutely nothing. Okay, that's my spiel. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. God bless.
No, that was good.
I love Hochtown.
That was so good.
This was great.
Adam, thank you very much. You've had a lot of great insight. Cody, as well.
Thanks for being here.
Yes. Thank you. We appreciate I mean, seriously, though, we have fun. We are very informal, like I said, but you brought it back around and, you know, hit the points that were necessary. You're very professional, and I see why they hired you. We haven't spent a long time together. We've met each other in passing here and there over the past couple of years, but definitely a grade A hire for sure.
Thank you, sir.
Look forward to having some more episodes with you.
That means more than you can imagine, honestly, and I'm thankful to have such a wonderful team like Chief Gilbert, Chief Williamson, many others. It's been an honor to be on this podcast, and I look forward to bringing more information to the folks that listen in.
Nice. And maybe if you chat with Chief Williamson, if he's interested, we could have him hang out with us one day on hosting Hoja Town.
Absolutely. I think he'd be game for that.
Cody, appreciate you, sir.
Yes, sir.
I think the safety of Hoja Town is in good hands. I really do. Again, thank you. You've hung out on my morning show before on the radio, and you've told us about what was going on, and so an
impossible question winner.
Exactly. Yeah. He's
mind you, I haven't picked up that Roma's.
Yeah, you need to get that. You need to get that.
I let mine expire. I won something a while back. And
Todd, appreciate you, bro.
Thank you, man.
It's always a pleasure. Shiloh, like yeah.
I know I'm not one of the hosts on this show.
But you are.
A lot.
His name's not on the clip.
Not on hosting Hochatown. You are a vital part of Hocha Talk, and I think that would probably be the next best podcast for Adam to be on with us.
Yes, absolutely. But I just wanted to say that I really appreciate all the work that our city administrator and our chief fire chief, police chief, everybody's doing. We're building a town here from ground zero, and things are moving. I know the town moves, you know, any kind of government moves at a slow pace, but I assure you we are doing everything we can to move this as fast as possible, to get your ISO ratings down, to do everything that we got to do to make Hoja Town the destination, the place to invest in Southeast Oklahoma, and to keep the economy going, you know, in the right direction. And I think we're headed there. We've got the right people hired and in place. And I hope this podcast answered a lot of questions for a lot of people that, you know, was wondering what was going on. And if you have further questions, look at hochatown.gov. All the answers are on there. And if you catch me on the right night, I'll answer your question on Facebook.
And that's a good one. Adam, if you'd give your email address, you gave your email address earlier. If you'd give that again, I would like to point out, if we do get to start doing this podcast, it'd be really nice if they shot you a question that you may answer on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. So an email address that can be reached out to Town Hall in general. And so that means anybody can see and answer your question, regardless of what department it is, would be info@hochatown.gov.
Perfect. That way everybody sees it, like we were talking transparency earlier.
Absolutely.
I love that. All right. And then last but certainly not least, Blue, we appreciate you hosting us here in this wonderful speakeasy, the back of Hoja Town Distilling Company.
Hey, that's where it all started, right here.
You know.
So it's great to have y'all back in here. I appreciate y'all coming back, because believe me, I've been looking forward to it and getting back here whenever we can. I always love having y'all in here.
Well, I appreciate that, Blue. I know we have a great time when we come here. So,
Jake, can I add real quick?
Absolutely.
Our main priority is, as far as the fire department goes, is lowering that ISO rating. I think Todd touched on that a while ago. Like, that's our main priority. I mean, obviously, we're taking care of the people now, but our main priority is to get that ISO rating as low as we can possibly get it.
To benefit the businesses. And for also, sure.
Just the residents. And also commercial and residential. Like, nice. Our goal is to lower it as low as possible for everybody.
Yeah, I guess that goes with your home insurance as well. Huh?
For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Any property here in Hoja Town, Chief Gilbert is working diligently to do everything that he can, including working with our rural water district and expanding and improving the water infrastructure that we have here throughout the community. So that way we could reduce the ISO rating and 40, reduce everybody's property insurance.
40% of our grade is the water. So that's why we've got with Blue here, you know, as a member of the water department to try to help get that lowered. We're doing all we can on our side. You know, now we've got to get with the water department to get their assistance in getting that lowered as much as possible for the residents and the visitors and everybody.
And we're collaborating together to go to an actual ISO conference later in February. I believe it's February 10th. And we will be going jointly. The town of Hoja Town and the fire department of Hoja Town will be attending that conference
and
with the rural water district number 5. which is the Hochtown provider of water.
Nice.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Well, Hochtown Rural Water Department number 5 is committed to providing, you know, potable water as our mission. That's our primary goal.
Awesome.
And then working with the town of Hochtown to achieve goals that they'd be able to achieve as if it was a functioning department of the city. But we do remain independent and autonomous, and we are committed to working with the town.
Well, as everybody, I mean, many nations even deal with water is the, in many cases, the baseline for growth. So we may have to have more conversations just with us, just water specifically too. So, Shiloh, I thoroughly enjoy these nights getting to hang out with you, no matter who is on the other side of the table with us.
I feel the same, brother.
All right. That's going to do it for hosting Hochtown. Peace.
Thank y'all.